From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
It was revealed over the weekend that Caleb Foster staying at Duke. Now, there's two ways to look at this. One is how the simplest way you could look at it, which is I really liked what Caleb Foster did playing basketball this year. I think coming off the bench, he was microwave offense. Just put him in the game and it's ready. And when he was put into the starting lineup, he did a lot of really good things. At times, he was the most immediate offense they had when things were struggling. That's valuable. The more complicated way is in modern college basketball, every decision kind of reveals a little bit about the inner workings of a team. We now have Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster returning. Those are two former five stars, two could go anywhere in the country and make a whole bunch of NIL money. That they're two very highly thought of players. We asked the same question when Seth Trimble hit the transfer portal from UNC. Does that mean RJ Davis was coming back? So is Caleb Foster staying? Does that mean Jeremy Roach is not coming back? And that's playing time that is now available for Foster to slide into. Or is he thinking, I'm going to replace Jared McCain? There's a couple different ways to move in this place. What I do know is this. Jeremy Roach, Tyrese Proctor, and Caleb Foster would be a very veteran backcourt. Would be experienced. They've all lived a life.
Oh, yeah.
They could all be. I talk about how Jeremy Roach this past year played the role of, when things got chaotic, to grab the basketball, put it under one arm like a football, take his other hand and put palm to the floor and go, calm down, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, easy.
Deep breath.
When all the youngsters are running around trying to, like, they're down six and they're all trying to make 7-point shots, mm-hmm. He grabs the ball. And, easy. One bucket. There's 9 minutes left in the first half. Let's chill. They could all do that. Roach obviously can. Proctor, going to be a junior. Caleb Foster, a sophomore next year, but has been through it. The injuries, the playing time, the coming off the bench. He's done a lot. He's seen a lot, and he's experienced a lot. Interestingly enough, if I'm John Shire, I'm putting as much recruiting effort into those three guys as anything else I have going on. Here's why. I went up in because, the other thought is, wow, is Caleb Foster really going to come back to come off the bench? They have the number one recruiting class in the country, and there are six names on that recruiting class. And I guarantee you all those top 10 recruits in the country aren't expecting to show up and, you know, be eighth guys off the bench. So I went and looked up the recruiting class, and more specifically, I looked up their positions according to 247 Sports, and 247 Sports is one of the authorities on high school basketball recruiting. These are the positions of the recruiting class. Small forward, center, small forward, center, small forward. There's a bit of redundancy in the recruiting class there, Coach. There are wings of varied skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
There's slashers, there's shooters, there's 3-and-D guys, there's a varied skill set within the position. But one thing there is not is any true ball handlers, true primary ball handlers. Cooper Flagg can bring the ball up, don't get me wrong. You can run your offense through him, as you can somebody like Darren Harris and maybe Isaiah Evans from up there in the Charlotte area. But they're not the guys who are setting up teammates as much as you'd think. Now, Caleb Foster is a scorer, but Roach and Proctor are very much setup guys, and Foster can kind of do some of that. He can break a press with the dribble. Without true primary ball handlers in the recruiting class, I think bringing all three of those guys back becomes a priority.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about re-recruiting, that you re-recruit them as if they are quintessential pieces of your recruiting class.
Well, on the Brotherhood podcast, which is like the Duke players run and have their own thing going, they being Proctor and Foster said they never even considered transferring. Like, never even crossed their mind. Like, Foster said 1,000% committed to Duke, which is great for if you're John Shire, that's a great thing to hear.
It's a wonderful thing to hear. What I will say is on the Brotherhood podcast where I'm reaffirming I'm coming back to Duke would not be the time where I went, you know, I considered Arizona.
Very true.
That would not be where I decide to let him in on my inner workings. Where I'm like, you know, I talked with my family and I wanted to move closer to home. Like, I wouldn't bring it up there. But, it's great, right? There's the knock on Duke, and you hear this from other fan bases, is it's not a brotherhood, it's a semesterhood,
mm-hmm.
right? You're only there, and then you either get run out by someone else taking your playing time, or you get run out because you're going pro. They're starting to have perimeter players, if it works out this way, with all three of them back, and we haven't heard from Roach, perimeter players that are very much hanging around. And it's, I don't know if it's as true, but it used to be a like foregone conclusion. It used to just be assumed that in March you needed veteran guards. You could have your one and done forwards or your one and done flamethrower shooting guard, but you needed, when the ball is in their hands a ton in March, you needed veterans there. We're talking, you know, very experienced sophomores, but really juniors and seniors, right? Either high usage, because every once in a while you get a sophomore that feels like a senior, right? And mm-hmm. it happens.
Just how much they play.
Wise beyond their years. They listen to, you know, classic rock. But now, like, Proctor is a legit upperclassman. Feels like he just got there, but he's been in college for 2 years, which means next year will be his third. He's a junior, even though he got there early, reclassified. Jeremy Roach will be a five-year guy if he sticks around. And Foster, as I said, he's a sophomore, but he's a sophomore that's seen some things. Right, he was forced to grow up early. He was in a six-man rotation and then dealt with an injury. That's a lot to deal with at a school like Duke. So even if these guys are, just deciding which of the young bucks is going to get the ball a ton, them making that decision is better than whoever else might be in that mix. Caleb Foster staying at Duke, that's a big recruiting win for John Shire. Even though it's a re-recruitment, it's a big recruiting win for John Shire. One thing we do know about him, though, is he is a fantastic recruiter. So I'm not surprised that they're going to win the offseason. Will they get the most out of their lineup next year? I don't know. But the best lineup they can try to get the most out of includes those three guys.
And plus, as well, with all those young guys that you mentioned that are coming in, mostly – you know, wing players and forwards and all that kind of stuff. It helps for them that, hey, guess what? You don't have to be a primary ball guy. We got the experienced guys to do that. You play your role and you can work your – you'll find your game as the season goes along. We got guys that know how to do this right now. Follow their lead. I think that's the biggest thing. It's something intangible that it takes some pressure off of Cooper Flagg or any of these other guys.
Because you look at like Isaiah Evans, who I brought up from Charlotte, or mm-hmm. Darren Harris from Northern Virginia. These guys, in maybe not in the all-star circuit, all the EYBL and everything, but on their at least their high school teams, they create for themselves.
Oh, 100%. They
create. Now it's like, you know, where do you like the ball? Let Tyrese Proctor get you there, get mm-hmm. you to where you like the ball, you know, with space. Where do you like the ball? Caleb Foster is going to slash, and when everybody collapses on him, he's going to kick it to you on the wing of your preferred catching. It's like that's a different beast for a lot of these guys, unless it's like Nike Summit and those things, they've dealt with a little bit of it. But it's going to be a nice surprise for them. I'm going to explain to you why the transfer portal should be an all-you-can-eat buffet for Triangle basketball teams. And then tell you where they should go, which station they should go to at the all-you-can-eat.
There's a lot of options out there at all-you-can-eat.
There are. Here's why it should be an all-you-can-eat buffet. The fifth best transfer, I was looking at the ESPN rankings of transfers, right? All of the transfers that have entered into the portal. The fifth best transfer in the country, according to ESPN, has committed to West Virginia. Now, West Virginia? So all the coaching ups and downs that they've been through recently, everything that program's been through, the lack of success they've been through, they got the number five transfer in the country. If they're shopping top shelf, the Triangle team should walk in on a spending spree to get exactly what they want.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If they're able to get the fifth best, then if Duke, Carolina State, again, in no particular order, walk into the portal and don't walk out with exactly what they want, I'm going, what are we doing here? So I went through and did like my my dream shopping, right? Like when you're a kid and you're making your Christmas list and you're just going through like the Toys R Us catalog. Do they still have those? Just circle what you want. And then you end up at the end realizing that you circled like 97% of the catalog. All right, maybe I was a little much. Hold on.
Let's pare it down a little bit.
Give me
here.
A different color marker. We'll start over. that's kind of what I did. And I think I've come with good fits here, okay? And you can add or disagree, Dennis, as we go along.
Okay.
We'll start with State.
All right.
The thing, like, I have, like, the category they should be shopping for, kind of the categorical ideal, and then who I think fixes it and fits in. NC State should be going straight to the scoring section of the store. Scoring. They need bucket getters. Because look at who graduated.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Horn, DJ Burns. When they needed a bucket this past year, they went to DJ Burns, and if it didn't work out, they went to DJ Horn. That was their whole thing. So they have O'Connell and Diarra and some, they have some really good kind of other roles already filled. They need that bucket getter. So they go to the, you know, the bucket getter store in the transfer portal, and the very prim and proper personal shopper comes up and goes, well, what can I help you for? They say, I want the best scores you got. Ooh, let me show you to the back room, right? Let me show you to the exhibit at the front of the store. This is where I think they go. John L. Davis and Vladislav Golden.
Who?
They both come from Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
Davis is the second best transfer, according to ESPN.
All right.
Vladislav Golden is the 28th best, according to ESPN. Davis, 6'4 shooting guard from Florida Atlantic, averaged over 18 points per game and shot over 41% from three. And you may remember when Florida Atlantic went on that run in the NCAA tournament a couple seasons ago, mm-hmm. He was the main character. He was the guy that, against all the big bad bullies in the tournament, was the one that was like, oh, he very much could be playing on these big bad bullies. He fits in from an athleticism profile and from a production profile. Vladislav Golden, I threw in there because they're from the same team. Their coach left for Michigan, Dusty May. So they're both looking for new stops, new places to go. He's a 7-1 center that averaged roughly 19 points per game over his last 11. So he's kind of put some things together, and he can rebound. And I figured, you know, if you're going to get John L. Davis, you might as well, you know, if you're going to be flying down there to visit him at Florida Atlantic, you might as well stop across the street at Golden and see if you can't make it a twofer. And if West Virginia is getting the number five, the 28th should be child's play, right?
You think they need a big man, especially with Brandon Huntley Hatfield, a 6'10 forward coming in, with Diarra and Middlebrooks coming back? You think they need to go that route?
I don't think they need to.
Yeah.
But I think over the second half of this past year, he's a better scorer than any of them have been.
True.
Huntley Hatfield is a former five-star, but he was averaging in the 12.5 points per game at Louisville. Let's not act like he had a ton of competition for shots at Louisville.
12.9 points per game, 8.4 rebounds.
I think there's a lot of scoring that's going to be missed and a lot of offensive gravity, meaning – when either of the DJs grabbed the ball, it became easier for everyone else on the court to get open. And like the DR, like let's be real, Diarra, love him. Mm-hmm. And him expanding to the 3-point line, massive for them. He was very much taking advantage of the negative space, right? Like the space not occupied by DJ Burns. And he really exploded when they started playing those two guys together. Could Huntley Hatfield be that same gravitational force? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure Golden will either, but I think having more shots at it is better than having one. Middlebrooks, Diarra, I don't know if their roles change, right? They're kind of, you know, Middlebrooks is going to be hustle, bull in a china shop. Diarra is going to be versatile, solid defense, great rebounding. The main centerpiece of the front court, I should say, I think that could be a role that's divided. State, scoring. What should Duke be looking for? This is the most predictable thing in the world if you've been listening. Bigs with toughness. Bigs with toughness. I want the 6'10 plus guy that is the most likely to win a fist fight coming for Duke. Clifford Omoruyi. Might be pronouncing that wrong. To be honest with you, don't know a lot about him. He's the seventh best recruit according to ESPN. He is 6'10". He is a center from Rutgers. And I have him on here because this was the first line in his description of his prospect page on ESPN. Among the truly elite post defenders in college basketball. I went, stop selling. You've got the yes.
Yep. That rim protector.
How much is it going to cost? What do I care? I'm Duke. That was signed, sealed, delivered. Should we move on? Like, I've been talking about them needing big, and some of the young guys, by the way, do bring some of it. Malawash, they have some dudes coming in the recruiting class. I want veteran dudes.
Just like that role player, be a rim protector.
Rim protect, rebound, and don't get mad when Cooper Flagg takes all your shots.
Fair.
Let's go to UNC. UNC, when they walk in and the personal shopper says, what are you looking for? Say, well, for about the last half decade, I had an Armando Bacot, got a little old, finally had to move on. I'm looking for a replacement. Loved the Armando Bacot, though, right? It's like when you're buying a new car or something and you're like, you know, for the last 10 years, I had a Toyota 4Runner. Loved it. Just need a new version,
yeah.
Right? Had a great time. Did everything I needed it to do, aside from one very particular thing. But I think we can get it done with a similar model. This one is the number one transfer in the market, Omar Bayo from Arizona, 7-foot center. Get this? Averaged a double-double.
There you go.
What was Armando Bacot's thing?
A walking double-double.
Yep. Give him 13 and 10, 16 and 11, whatever you want to call it. That's the player that I think they should go for. Is it rich? He's the number one ranked transfer on the entire market. Sure. Number five went to West Virginia. UNC is not four spots better of a basketball program than West Virginia. And there's big minutes, meaning minutes for bigs, vacated, a whole bunch of them. Figure it out, UNC. Make the pitch. Is it going to be expensive? You're North Carolina. Does Mark Cuban ask what things are at the store? How much is that going to cost? I don't know. I saw he just paid, like, according to him, $288 million in taxes this year.
Oh. By the way, folks, you have 6 minutes. Get your taxes filed.
There's your reminder. At least if you're bumming about how much taxes you had to pay, at least $288 million. Goodness.
That's
because he sold the Mavericks this year, right?
Oh, he sold a chunk of them.
So,
but he's still a majority owner, but he did sell a chunk of the team.
Yeah, so there's that. But still, when you're paying $288 million in taxes, you're probably not asking, like, do you think I could get this in another color? How much do they cost when you're looking at, like, jackets? That's what North Carolina should be in the transfer market. Is he the number one ranked? Yes, go get it. If that's what you need, if that's your Bacot replacement, go get it.